Welcome to the Seeds Uniting Church podcast. For more information and other resources, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday morning service.
Well, it is my privilege this morning to welcome the Reverend Andy Hogarth. One of Seed's favourite sons. Andy is the senior pastor out at the Journey Uniting Church, which is at Padare, which, I don't know, somewhere north, way north of the city. You'll take a water bottle to get there. Andrew was on staff here from 1999 to 2004. And Andy and I are very good friends. We had the joy of studying together at college. Got up a few tricks.
It's all joy.
It's all joy, wasn't it? Indeed. So Andy was... Youth, young adults pastor here at that period. So we welcome him this morning, and I invite you to put your hands together as we give him a Seed's welcome.
Thanks very much, Jonathan, and it's a real good start. Here's my thought. Everybody wins with the Holy Spirit's gifts. Everybody wins with the Holy Spirit's gifts. That everyone can have God's power. Everyone can have God's gifts. In 1981, I was but a child. And my parents and I had gone to a meeting. It wasn't in a regular church. It was in some hall or someone's home. There were about 40 people there. They sang some songs. It seemed fairly unstructured. And I remember as a kid, as an 11-year-old kid, this quietness came over the group. And after this quietness, this woman, she must have been really old. I mean, I think she would have been almost 47. And she just said, "I just sense the Lord is saying," and she said a few things. And I remember as an 11-year-old thinking, wow, like, she's not the preacher or anything like that, but God seems to have spoken through her, and it just seemed to resonate with everybody there. And from that time on, in my heart and my imagination has been this thought that the Holy Spirit is within every believer and wants to do something, say something, minister in a particular way. And that's available for everyone, that everyone wins with the Holy Spirit's gifts. Now, and the reason I'm talking about this today is because that I imagine there are some of us here, and you're like me. You believe in Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, the sign of new life through baptism, all that. But there's a part of you that has asked from time to time, or maybe even today, what's next? Is there something more? Many believers are seeking to know what it is, not just to believe, but to be launched into ministry. Many believers who know Jesus as their Savior are wanting to know Jesus as their leader as well, to move something and move forward. And that's what the message is today, because everybody wins with the Holy Spirit's gifts. But I wonder whether there's some others of us here today, and you're actually here and you're not sure what you think about Christianity, this whole church thing. Maybe you've tried church a few times, and maybe you've been dissatisfied with a lot of what you see, and particularly of what you've seen of some who call themselves Christians. And you're not so much antagonistic, but you're just looking and hungering, almost spiritual hunger, for something more. So if you're a believer or an unbeliever or a seeker or sort of a believer, I'm not sure if that's a theologically correct statement, but I think a lot of people are in that boat. My hope is that this message will help you see that God wants everyone to win, including you. And he gives spiritual gifts to empower everyday people in everyday life. So just turn to the person next to you and just say, "You're set up to win. You're set up to win." Someone needs to hear that today. Turn to the other person and say, "Come on, the crows! Come on, the crows! These are desperate times, people. We're even having a midweek prayer meeting. So what does it look like when the Holy Spirit's gifts enable everyone to win? Well, the first place we need to look with all things Christian is the Bible. One out of three answers to every Sunday school question is the Bible. And some of you didn't even get that right. No sticker for you. I don't know why I'm saying that. People in the New Testament, even a casual read of the Bible in the New Testament, ordinary people were filled with the Holy Spirit and made an incredible impact on others. Whole cities were just set alive, and there weren't that many Christians, but they just had such an enormous impact on their communities. And this is no more clearly expressed than in the letter to the church in Corinth from the Apostle Paul. And in chapter 12 of the letter, when I think chapter 12 of the letter, I mean, man, that is some letter. I mean, has anyone written 12 chapters in a letter? But Paul did. And in that 12th chapter is an almost step-by-step guide to the empowered life. And if I could sum up that passage, I would say Paul is just saying, everyone wins with the Spirit's gifts. That's the big idea. Everyone wins. So I'm going to read some of that to you. There's some things up on the screen there, but I do apologize. It's not the guy's fault that the words are a bit smaller. Anyway, long, boring story, but I messed it up. Chapter 12, it says this, Now, about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. He's using a double negative to say, I want you to know this. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord or Jesus is leader except by the Holy Spirit. Here's the first idea, that spiritual gifts are for everyone who follows Jesus as their leader. If you call Jesus your leader, that's not just from you, that's from the Holy Spirit. There's something that the Holy Spirit, that God himself has awakened within you that says, no, Jesus is first, Jesus is leader. And if that's the case, then I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit gifts are for you. There's no secret source. There's no higher level. Everyone gets the secret source. Everyone gets to follow Jesus. Everyone gets the Holy Spirit and his gifts. It's not even very democratic. It's better than that. It's Jesus-ocratic. You like that? It's being part of the family of God. You didn't earn it. You were born into it. Wow. And the more you focus on Jesus, the more you focus on the leadership of Jesus in your life, the more you will be aware of your need for and the availability of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God wants everyone to win with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now he goes on in verse 4, he says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So here's the second thought, that spiritual gifts are different just as people are different, but they all work together just as the Father, Son, and Spirit all work together. God has always lived in community. He was the first connect group, the first small group, the first Bible study, Father, Son, and Spirit. That's how God is, and that's how all people born of God are. There's no lone rangers. You're never alone. And isn't that a relief? We get to do this together. Not just for each other, but with each other. And isn't that a joy? I mean, every ministry team you've ever been involved with, all those church people, isn't that wonderful that we all get to do that together? Every last one of them. God bless them. But some are a bit different, aren't they? Just turn to the person next to you and just say, you're a bit different. Married couples launching into honesty in their relationship. It's wonderful to see. That's how it works. Community for the common good. And it caused so much excitement in the cities where Christians were that those cities were never the same again, and we get to do this together. But he goes on in verse 8. He starts to describe what some of these spiritual gifts are. He says, to one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. And he says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Here's the thought. Spiritual gifts minister to every human need as required, and is given by the Holy Spirit, who knows exactly what is needed. So the idea with these spiritual gifts is that they're not just necessarily a lifelong thing. There are some people who are very marked by a particular ministry. Maybe it's healings or prophecy or something like that. But the real intention of this scripture and the way it's written seems to indicate that any believer at any time, according to any need, may be used of God in any of those things. And aside from that, there are natural gifts, aren't there? Natural gifts given to us as human beings. Part of our personality or our abilities, our experiences, our emotional intelligence, our upbringing. And all that is from God. It's not dismissive of those things. But the spiritual gifts, these gifts that we're talking about here, they are not those natural gifts. They are given by the Holy Spirit according to need, according to God's wisdom, and according to the faith of people to use them. The gifts of the Spirit listed here are given into specific situations for one goal. God wants everyone to win with the Holy Spirit's gifts. Everyone wins with the Holy Spirit's gifts. Just pause with that for a moment, because I'm making a distinction. A distinction that there are things that you are born with to do, and they are from God. There are gifts, natural gifts that we have by virtue of study or upbringing, or just it's just within you all your life, and those are a good thing. Very good. Very important. We've got to find what they are. Use them with all our might. But there are things here that only the Holy Spirit will give, and he will give that to anyone who is open, who is a believer. He will do that. For instance, wisdom. Now, wisdom, there are some people of faith and none who are just very wise people, aren't they? They're just some people who just have a wisdom about them. There's certainly believers who have meditated on God's word and they pray, and they're a living book of Proverbs. They've just got that wisdom about them. Though that is a good thing. That is an important thing. But this gift of wisdom is something else a bit different. This is a gift of wisdom whereby whether someone's 11 years old or 81 years old, this gift of wisdom can come. And it's often found when there's a situation where normal wisdom has kind of reached its end. I'll give you an example. A pastor called Barry Chant, who started Tabor College. Wonderful man of God, 80 years old, still ministering all around the place. Great Bible teacher. And he tells her the story of how he was working in an executive team. So there were a number of pastors of really nationwide ministries who were getting together for a particular thing. And there were two pastors on this team, and they could just never agree on the way forward. They always clashed. They didn't dislike each other. It's just they could never agree. And Barry and the team, they tried everything, you know, get to know your games, the whole thing. Everything they could try. They got so desperate that Barry said, I got desperate enough to pray. And he said, I asked God for spiritual wisdom. He said, around that table were decades and decades of spiritual and pastoral wisdom, but we needed something more. And into Barry's mind as he prayed came this thought. These two men are from completely different stables of ministry. Both good, but they are completely different. Their whole framework and foundation of ministry is different, and they will never agree. And so he said, I think that's it. They spoke. Both these men left the team, went on to great ministries, but they could never work together. Word of wisdom. Word of wisdom. Supernatural wisdom. I could tell you hundreds of stories. So you could probably tell me a number of stories of things where you thought, I just don't know what to do, and you got some insight or someone gave an insight and you thought, that's it. That's it. Paul talks about the word of knowledge. Now again, there's people who have a lot of knowledge, a lot of insight. They're well-read, or they just have a capacity to sort of synthesize a lot of thoughts. They're well-experienced. Fantastic. Don't ignore those people. Buildings don't get built without those people. But this is different. This is a spiritual gift of knowledge that either synthesizes things that otherwise would not be synthesized, or has a particular insight into a situation that you would not normally know. And that gift is extraordinarily helpful in a range of situations. You've got to be wise how you use it. Don't go with the whack jobs that start predicting dates and who people should marry and not marry. That's just weird stuff. Don't do that. You've got to be sensitive with the way that it's communicated. If something's of a more sensitive nature or a corrective nature, you better go to that person's pastor first. Don't take spiritual authority that you haven't been given. I'll talk a bit about that tonight at the service. But there is words of knowledge. They're closely linked with words of encouragement or prophetic encouragement. And it was as I was praying about this, I had some thoughts in my mind last night. Happy thoughts. Thoughts I wanted to share with you today. Now, a couple of these are a little left of centre. Here's one. I believe today, in one of these three services, I'm going to keep saying it until someone comes up to me after the service. And when I share these things, you don't have to jump up and say, that's me, it's me. Please don't. Now, after the service, you can just come up and we'll pray together. But there's someone, and you're wearing red shoes, but they are red shoes that you have never worn before at church. Everyone's looking around going. And I believe God's got a word for you. And it's from Romans chapter 10. It says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And God, and you might be listening on the podcast, I don't know where you are. Somehow you're going to hear this, and God is speaking to you, and he's saying, it's time to ramp up that evangelism anointing that's on your life and start walking, start moving. And I'm going to use your witness and your testimony, and it's there, but you kind of let it lie a bit fallow, and you've got to start activating it and activating it and activating it. How many people here are 37? 37 years old. Excellent. What does the Bible say about lying? Let's just take a moment. 37. Shane's 37. Who else is 37? Hello. I felt God saying, that we need to pray for the 37-year-olds. And why? Because they were the people born around about 1980. Yep. Well, my maths is correct. Okay. What happened in 1980? The sociologists tell us that in 1980 was the biggest shift sociologically. There is a church that was known before 1980, and there's a church that is known after 1980, and that has been what most of the church fights have been about. Because technology shifted and we launched into a whole new era. Long story, but the 37-year-olds, I want to say this. I sense that God is saying for you to absolutely throw the kitchen sink at people who are within a 15-year younger age range, okay? That I really sense that you've got something quite significant to offer to those who were born since 1980, particularly 1995. They're Gen Z, and they are a sharp... If you think Gen Ys were tech-savvy, try Gen Z, okay? Gen Z are going to be an extraordinary generation. Find them, equip them, bless them, serve them, have them in your houses, encourage them, pray for them. That's for the 37-year-olds. That's for everyone. Do it, and do it quickly, because they are the ones who are going to navigate through what is happening culturally for us, and they're not going to miss a beat. They're not going to miss. All us older people are freaking out about what's going on. Gen Z are going, it's okay. I'm loving Jesus, loving people. We're going to get through this. Okay? Pray for your 37-year-olds, because they're like a Joshua bringing a new generation through. Pray, 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 because the Gen Z, they're not lying awake thinking, oh, what's going to happen? They're going, God's got this, and we're going to smash this. That's how they're thinking. 37-year-olds, I want to encourage the 37-year-olds. It might be for 40-year-olds as well and 50-year-olds, I don't know. Anyway, I just thought of 37. Is this all right? But some of you are thinking, this is getting weird. I didn't come to church for this. Sometimes you get a demonstration of this. This is very exposing to do this because, you know, there was no lecture in Bible college on this one. Faith, the gift of faith. The gift of faith. Everyone who's a believer obviously has faith. But this gift of faith is a gift that comes to a person, irrespective of their age or background or experience, sometimes in spite of it, when a group of people, particularly a church or a committee or a group or a whatever, can't find the way forward and it's needing a bold step and they're all thinking of the reasons why it can't happen and someone just has this faith that rises up within them that says, we can do this, we can take the land, we can build this building, God's going to meet every need, he's going to heal, he's going to bring that gift of faith. And it rises up within you, and someone speaks it out, and everyone goes, that's what we need. And they change. The meeting changes, the money's raised, the building's built, the mission teams launch, the churches are planted, we stop looking at what we don't have, we start looking at what God has. True? Okay. That's why there's not going to be one complaint about the toilets or the flapping things. No one's going to complain about it because a spirit of faith comes upon God's people and upon a congregation actually stirs up believers and go, you know what? God's got this. We're going to go for this. All right? We stop looking at the problems, start looking to God. That's the gift of faith. And there are seasons in a church where that gift of faith rises up. There are people who, unusual people sometimes, who God anoints with a spiritual gift of faith to say, God's got this. Let's do it. Let's do it. Because this isn't the finish. This isn't even the finish, folks. I just felt, during the worship, I just felt now God's saying, no, there's more. There's more. Get ready for more disequilibrium. Get ready for more growth. Get ready for more services to start on Sundays. Get ready for more, you know, like that's faith. That's faith. You only need 2% of this surrounding population to start believing in Jesus, and you're going to have to extend your building again. Jonathan's going, oh, really? But the next time it's going to be paid for up front. The next time it's going to be paid for up front. Because when faith enters the heart, And some of you are really unlikely, feel like an unlikely champion. The great thing about building programs is it brings that gift of faith in people who, you know, they're in worship and they go, well, their worship's good and, you know, preaching's good and that, but there's something about extending the kingdom through bricks and mortar that really excites them. And God bless you in that. Some of you have felt out of place in church almost all your life, but this, that flapping, every time it flaps, you're hearing God's Spirit. You're going, I could give to that. I want to build more of that. I want to see more, more, more. And that's the gift of faith, the gift of faith. Gifts of healings. It's actually a plural word. There's lots of different healings. Now, we praise God for our medical capacity. You know, there's been some streams of Christianity that have tried to dismiss all that. That's nuts. Okay, that's ludicrous. Okay, God's gift that he gives to knowledgeable scientific people, praise God for that. God's given our natural bodies that capacity to heal and through good diet and all that sort of thing. I was a mission group of young people several years ago, and they were overseas, and sometimes the safest place to eat, ironically, is McDonald's, because you know at least what you're getting. But they'd been eating McDonald's after McDonald's and they were getting sick. They didn't realise what they were getting sick, so they're praying about healing. And someone came to them and said, I had a picture of a hamburger with a cross on it. And it's not the cross on Jesus died, it's just a... They stopped eating the hamburgers, they felt better. Praise God. Healings, but there is a spiritual gift of healing. That this man before you at 8 years old is sent home from the hospital to die. And a brand new Christian, 3 months a Christian, says, well, doesn't the Bible say we should anoint with oil and pray? And so they did. And that night I was eating chops and potatoes and all that, and I've been eating ever since. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the blessings? Healings. So in a moment, before the end of the service, I'm going to invite people who are needing healing. It's not a counselling session. You're not going to have to tell your story. We're going to just stand together, and if you've got a need for healing, just to lift your hand. If you've got chronic shoulder problems and you can't lift your hand, just light a fire or something. I don't know. Start smoking inside. That'll help. They'll know to pray for you then. I joke. Totally against smoking. It's not very good for your health. But in a moment, we're going to do that. Now, here's the other thing is that maybe you're here believing. You don't have a need for healing, but you've got the Holy Spirit within you. And so what I'm going to invite you to do when you see those hands raised is not to keep those people hanging. And just, if they're standing next to you, just stretch out a hand toward them and just pray in the name of Jesus. We'll just pray. You know, real complex prayers like, dear Jesus, please heal them. Okay? Great start. You can get your kids praying like that. There's no junior Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? Like, this is a great thing. It's just transcends age. Sometimes it's better to have kids and young people doing it because, they haven't learnt yet that these things just don't happen. And amazingly, they happen, you know. So that's what we're going to do in a minute. So I'm just going to pray. I just sense there's a lot going on maybe in your mind at the moment, and we've had a bit of a laugh and had the Word of God and that sort of thing, and you might be thinking, well, I don't want to get too crazy here. Well, I want to say, we're not going to get crazy, a little crazy, but not real crazy. You don't want to get rid of all the crazy, you know. You don't want to get rid of all the weird. You just don't want to be wholly weird, you know. This Church 101, but right there. But there's a lot going on. A lot going on for you in your mind. You know, in the West, we're very schooled. It's our great strength. But like any strength, you overuse your strength, it becomes a weakness. You know what it's like? And so just to relax in that. And maybe you're not even a believer here today and you think, well, I'm actually, yeah, I've got a sore or whatever. Maybe a sore shoulder. And you think, well, I want to just encourage you. Just put up your hand. Just see what happens. What have you got to lose? Probably a few medical bills. I mean, who's going to complain about that? God bless the medical profession, though. a lot going on. Just ask the band to come up. Everybody wins with the Holy Spirit's gifts. And I just felt as I was driving here and pulling in this morning, this thing about miraculous powers, like, sounds a bit weird, and it's probably not the thing that we really get into. But when Jono and I, when we were at Bible College, we had these couple of lunches because we had a lot of housing units around the Bible College, and a lot of them were new refugees, you know, really, like, really new refugees, many of them Muslims. And a couple of people said, why don't we have a bit of a lunch and play some soccer and all that sort of thing? So we planned it and that sort of thing. We ordered a certain amount of chickens. We thought, yeah, there'll probably be about 50 people turn up. And so chickens and salad, nice and, you know, non-offensive to anyone. And anyway, they started coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. And there was about 150 people came. And we're looking at these chickens and looking at the salad and thinking, this is not going to feed them. Anyway, Ruth Mary, a friend of ours, she's the classic evangelist. And she goes up to the school, to the Bible College principal and says, Andrew, you're just going to have to pray that this food multiplies. And he looks at her and he goes, well, why don't you pray? And so she goes, Lord, we need more chickens. There was no time to get them. They were all there. You know, it was all. It wasn't just an organisational point of view. It was just like the local chicken shop that ran out. Anyway, all I'll say is this. 1 hour later, every person had been fed. Every person had been fed. All the food was gone, but everyone was fed. And there were 100 more people than there was for food. Now, blew our minds a little bit because we were all very smart theological people. Here's the thing. I just sense that for some of us, and I want to say it to, I guess, very humbly to our church leadership and to you as believers, that you're going to see some miracles, some miraculous things happen. That Adelaide is going to become more multicultural. And I want to encourage you that when you're dealing with the margins of society, whether that's cultural margins or the wealth margins, you're going to see incredible activity of the Holy Spirit. You're going to see quite miraculous things happen. It's going to blow your mind. And some of you who feel would say right now, I'm the most cynical about that, are actually going to be used the most by God in that. God's going to blow your mind. There's going to be some really miraculous things. Miraculous stuff doesn't disqualify good planning and good processes and all. It's all things are yours. But God leaves some gaps in the best of planning so that He can show us the power is His and not ours. And isn't that a good thing?
Yeah.
I want to just encourage you. I just felt too to say, we've got a lot of families, a lot of parents here. And just as I was praying, I felt to say, to encourage parents and grandparents to believe for supernatural things for your children. Start really be praying for them that they have that great experience of the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes most of us are middle class, that sort of thing, and so church is a part of, you know, raising good citizens, and we like them going to youth group because, you know, kind of they're not going to do drugs or something. And that's great. It's important. But, you know, pray for your kids. Believe for a spiritual impartation. Pray for them as they're lying asleep at night. Pray for them. Encourage them. Encourage them in what they're doing and who they are. And sometimes that's hard because there's some things that we've really prayed for, healings that we prayed for that haven't happened. And that's so hard. And that's why we never get into this whole thing of, you know, that ridiculous thing of, oh, if they had more faith. It's rubbish. Absolute rubbish. We don't know why some things resolve and some things don't, but I know that one day it's all resolved. I know one day it's all resolved, either here or in the heaven and earth to come. I know that. But I want to encourage you, keep praying. Keep praying for God's power to be released in your children. I just feel something that God's just wanting to release into parents and grandparents here. girl there, is that your daughter? Your next door neighbour. Something about her. And there's something, there's a reason why you're connected with her, the same spirit and faith. I don't know what your gifts are or what your story is, but where she goes, other people are going to follow. What she leads is going to bear fruit, and a lot of people are going to be blessed by that. And I think there's a bit of you in her, you know, and it's not an accident that she's your next door neighbour. I just felt that during the worship, so I just encourage you in that. Don't be overburdened by that, just be yourself. There's something about that girl God's going to use. I want to talk to a few dads here, a few dads, and the reason you're here is because really your wife kind of told you to be here. You think it's probably the best thing for your kids, but frankly, church bores you. You feel it. I just sense there's a few of you like that. And I just sense maybe even just whether it's this side of the room or not, I don't know. But what you need is a power encounter with God. You need a power encounter with God. And God's going to release something today in you. And if you're open, He's going to do it. He's going to do it. You need a power encounter with God. There's someone called Richard here, and in my mind was Richard the Lionheart, the king who led all the crusades. Let's just push the rightness or wrongness of that at the moment. There's something about you, and I don't know whether this is on the podcast or whether you're in this service or another service, but you're on a crusade, and there's something about your business capacity. And God is saying, keep your home strong. Your crusade isn't wrong, but you've got to keep your home strong, and you've got to be brave at what comes against you. And there are going to be incredible odds against you, but if you're brave, it will work out. There's a story of Richard the Lionheart. Everyone else is held up in a citadel, several hundred opposing people, and there's something in Richard. He got on his horse and rode out single-handedly, and just the sheer courage of that dispelled the enemy. There was something happening in that moment. That's you. But you've got to keep your home strong. Since there's someone who, and you're about 49 years old, you might be close, but whatever it is, you feel like you're very aware that you're half time in your life. You're at halfway. And you own a business, and I believe you've got 3 employees. And here's the thing. Your business up to this point has been you telling employees what to do, and that's how you built your business. And I believe that there's a season that it's changing. And you're not to tell them what to do, you're to show them what to do. You're to teach them so that they can do it and own it. And that shift is about building people. You've been building a business, but now God's saying, I want you to build people, because the next step in your business and your life is to be building people. You've got to get your eye off just the financial ledger and get it into the people ledger. Your people are your most important asset. And if you stop telling them what to do and start teaching them what to do and finding their gifting, your business is going to grow. And there's 2 more employees, I think, that are going to come into your business within the next 12 months. It's going to grow. It's going to grow. Okay, if that's you, come and speak to me afterwards or speak to someone and just ask them to pray for you. All these things, it's pretty normal. It's just supernaturally normal. Would you stand with me? Would you stand? If you've got a need today just for prayer, for healing or whatever, I'm not going to ask you to come out or anything. You just lift up your hand. It doesn't matter what sort of healing it is, physical, spiritual, emotional. Maybe you're just disappointed. Just you've had a few knocks, you know. Hey, we've all been there. Just lift it. Maybe you've been disappointed about healing. How many times have you prayed for healing and nothing's happened? That's okay. God wants to heal that too. So just where you are, and if you're a believer, just around, just stretch out a hand toward these people. You're going to pray. You can just pray real gently. Don't be weird about it. Just, Jesus, just bless this person. Love them. Strengthen them. Bring what they need. If you're a believer here with the Holy Spirit in you, I'm not. And maybe you're a person who's been a long-term Christian. You say, well, one thing I'm not into this charismatic business. All right, that's fine. Just get into the Holy Spirit business, okay? It's not going to kill you to reach out a hand and pray for someone. That's all pre-1980 stuff. tried to lose it, and so do you. Jesus, come by your Holy Spirit. Come into this place. And I just want to encourage believers, just start praying now. If you've got a prayer language, use that. If you just want to call out to Jesus a bit, it's something about, you know, there's a lot of people who are going to be coming into this place, and all they need is just that encouragement. And in some ways, God doesn't want to do it on his own. He wants to do it through his people. He wants to do it through people who are just going to pray and just call on the Lord with that faith. You know, just stretch out some faith and go, Lord, whoever it is, whatever it is, I want you to be glorified today. I want you to bless that family. Whoever comes into your mind, just start praying for them, even now, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We got some music, it's nice music playing at the moment, and that's good, but you can do this with or without the music. If you're a parent, just start believing for a supernatural encounter for your kids, not just that they get a good education and a faith and all that sort of stuff, but something tangible, something that you could go, they can go, you know, only God could do that. That's what the next generation need. They need an only God encounter. They need an only God encounter. I'm speaking to parents right now. You can feed them and love them and be there, but they need an only God encounter. And maybe you're a parent and you go, well, I need that. And God's saying, I'm going to give you an only God encounter in your life that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know. Come on, people. Lift up your voices in faith. Just start praying now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you're not a believer here today, I'm not going to ask you to do anything or be anything you don't want to be. That's all right. But I want to encourage you right now to consider the atmosphere that is in this place right now. And it's not by accident. It's by faith in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Just pray for backs and necks, all those things that trouble us in Jesus' name. Someone in their lower spine, it's like a disc or a fuse thing. In Jesus' name, speak just total release now in Jesus' name. Whatever is holding on to that, to be broken off in Jesus' name. There's not going to be an operation. There's going to be a healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Come into this place. Come on, team. Just lead us for a bit. Keep praying.